Welcome, podcast listeners, to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, Phoenix. So, guys, I'm very lucky to have Chris John Riley and Ben Akidis-Liga on from BrewCon. For the HPR guys that haven't caught you guys before on the Hacker Public Radio podcast, Chris, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Chris Riley. I work for a bank in Austria as a penetration tester.
And Benny?
I'm a security professional by day, security blogger, and event organizer by night.
Well, thanks very much, guys, for hopping on to the call with me. For regular podcast listeners, you may recognize Chris's voice and Benny's voice. I've spoken to these people before. For you guys that don't know, Benny has just survived BrewCon, I think is the best way of putting it. Benny was one of the organizers, and Chris was also at BrewCon as well. And at the last call, we talked about how BrewCon was coming on and how I'd kind of like to get Chris's feedback from BrewCon. And then he said maybe we could talk about getting Benny back on, and Benny, the legend that he is, agreed to come back on. So first and foremost, Benny, congratulations on BrewCon. How did you think it went?
It went great. First of all, I have to thank four other people. Peter Danieu, Sébastien Leesneider, Philippe Whitens, and Philippe Bogart are the four crazy people who got together with me and started discussing it. And then the whole team of volunteers that followed in the months afterwards, because people kept saying, like, we can't believe it that it's your first conference. It's like you've been, it's your fourth edition. You have been running for 4 years, and that's one of the biggest compliments I had after the conference.
And Chris, how are you surviving after attending pretty much every hacking conference that would let you in, you being it?
Yeah, and I think I've been to every single conference, almost every single conference that's been available worldwide over the last 6 weeks. BrewCon for me was a really special event. I mean, there are lots of people there I know. It seems that at least 90% of all security professionals in Europe seem to live in Belgium. At least most of the people I know seem to live in Belgium, and it was really nice catching up with everyone again. I can only echo what other people at the conference have said, is like no one believed it was the first time that BrewCon had run. And I mean, some of the other conferences I've been to have been a lot worse in the organizational point of view than BrewCon is. I mean, BrewCon's kind of come from nowhere and has, you know, run so smoothly and so well, and all of the speakers who I talked to were just, you know, overwhelmed with it, and they're just definitely coming back next year. It's like best conference we've ever had. I think Jason E. Street said it was like the best conference he's been to. So, you know, that's a great compliment.
I mean, from the sidelines, BrewCon was for me, a slow beast almost. You know, you heard it rumbling for a while, and then when it came closer to it, it seemed like everyone was really excited that BrewCon was coming, and a lot of people were really looking forward to it. Did that kind of atmosphere transfer to the conference itself then? Was everyone kind of really jigged to be there?
Well, I mean, I think even the speakers are really excited. I mean, if you're actually at the event, you got to see Chris Gates and Chris Nickerson kind of joining together their two talks, because they were so excited about doing the talks. They were kind of exchanging slide decks before the event to say, what do you think of this? How does this fit with your stuff? And Chris Gates did a great talk on open source information gathering, which kind of slotted in very nicely with Chris Nickerson's follow-up on social engineering, red teaming, and kind of using the information gathering phase and then kind of taking it to the next level and kind of moving into the, you know, kind of one-on-one social engineering aspect of it. And you could just see the excitement from the people there. It was, you know, kind of a one-time only opportunity to see the speakers really talking about things that they're really, really interested in, instead of the kind of static DEF CON, you must break something and give us an exploit. They were really talking about stuff that was really interesting to them, and it really showed through.
Benny,
I think we had a...
You carry on, Benny. Sorry, mate.
No problem. I think we had a good mix of speakers. We were really fortunate. I think because of Sebastian works also for the OWASP conference, and yeah, I think we all work in the security industry and know some people. And I spam a lot on Twitter, and actually that got us in contact with some great speakers, and we had a great selection. And a lot of visitors said that the overall quality was really good. So even the volunteers were asking me the day afterwards, "Well, when do we start for the next one?" I was like, "Let me sleep for a week, and we'll talk about it."
Benny, could I ask you how much of your own conference did you actually see?
Not a lot.
Yeah, I had this sneaky feeling. I mean, I.
I think about 10 minutes was the most I saw of every presentation, because I was just walking around and checking with all the teams, like, did everything start on time? Did everybody show up? Also for the catering for the bar. We had several workshops because the venue only had one really, really big and beautiful presentation room. And we wanted to do something else, and but I had a lot of meeting rooms, a lot of smaller rooms that were ideal for workshops. So we did a lot of workshops, and I was really fortunate to have some of the neighboring hacker spaces come from the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Brussels, and have them give several workshops like soldering and yeah, tinkering with LED and Arduino boards, because for me this is also an important part of hacking, because a lot of people consider it still to be like exploits and pen testing, black hat, white hat, gray hat. But I think a big part of hacking is also about making things, not just breaking it. So for me that was an important part to include in the conference, because I really wanted to be a positive event, because it was the first time in Belgium, and most people still think when they hear the word hacking, that's about illegal activities and stuff like that. And I think we changed the views of a lot of people.
So would it be fair to maybe suggest that it was a security conference for security people, almost, designed by security people for security people, and maybe not so much about selling, not so much about the media hype, but actually about what it is that we love and do for a living?
Exactly.
Awesome.
That was like meeting people, sharing knowledge, and I think that's really one of the cornerstones why we started Brucon.
I mean, as I've said before, I'm immensely jealous that I didn't get to Brucon. I'm immensely jealous, because just for the hype that was surrounding you guys, that maybe the 2 weeks before Brucon had started, you could, from the side, like I say, from the sidelines, really smell that this was going to be an awesome conference and event, and I'm sure, even from this side, it's easy for me to say that Benny, you've done an awesome job. But what
Well,
would you?
just the team.
Yeah, well, when I say you, Benny, I know that you're part of a team, and there's no I in team. That's certainly true. If you could change one thing, Benny, what would you do? What would you do differently?
Well, I wouldn't change too much about the concepts, what we did. Well, for small details, we need to figure out, well, to monitor where people need to be, just behind the scenes, some small details. But actually, everything went quite well. Catering can be improved. It was like an emergency solution because we really started too late looking into it, and like we had Belgian fries in the evening, and we'll continue to keep it, but we're looking into having a variety, more selection of things to eat in the evening, because some people like Belgian fries, but some people, well, prefer to have something else.
Chris, what was what was how was Brewcon for you? I mean, what I suppose I'm trying to ask is, I mean, you really, we'd laughed and joked about it beforehand, but I mean, pretty much anywhere that had a security conference this year, you were at, and it must be great to have, a somewhat educated view is probably not the right term. I can't find the right words that I'm looking for, but sampling so many different conferences, and you've said that you enjoyed Brewcon. What was the bit that really rocked the boat for you? Really kind of rocked it for you?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things. I mean, the one thing is I really like the one track conference. I mean, it's just, you go to someone like DEF CON, someone like Black Hat, you've got six conferences, six talks going on at the same time, and it's always the same. You get three talks on at the same time, you want to see them all, you just can't. And that kind of leads you to running around between rooms that can be miles away from each other, literally miles away from each other sometimes, to try and catch all of the talks you want to catch. And then when you get there's no seats left, and it's just too busy. And what I really liked about Brewcon was there was one track, and they had such good talks. But I mean, if there was something that you didn't want to see or something you'd already seen somewhere else, then there was always, a workshop or two going on at the same time. And then there was the Hex Challenge, which was being put on by Didier Stevens and
Peter
Daniel, which was great. I mean, I didn't get enough chance to really play. Basically, the idea of the Hex Challenge was it was kind of, it's not the typical capture the flag style thing that goes on at these kind of events. There was a bit of reverse engineering, kind of trivia questions, as well as some typical capture the flag penetration testing stuff, and kind of a bit of hardware hacking as well. And I was I teamed up with a friend of mine there, and we kind of did some of the trivia stuff. We did some of the hardware hacking stuff, which I'm not particularly good at. But I mean, even though we'd only played for maybe a couple of hours, we came in, I think, ninth in the contest. Which was, kind of an achievement for us. It's like, wow, look, what can you do for a couple of hours? You can achieve so much. But there were people who played it for the whole time they were there. And I mean, they must have really enjoyed it. And I think that those guys spent a lot of time organizing that. And I really respect that, because it's a lot of work to organize those kind of events. So, I mean, my wish for the conference was that I had at least 2 days longer to play the Hex Challenge, because I think it would have been great if I had more time.
So
yeah, I think it's a team of seven people, and unfortunately I don't know them all by heart, but Didier, Peter and the rest, well, congratulations, because I think a lot of people enjoyed it. Just something to fill in the gaps and during the break, something to have fun with, and for some people just playing it full time.
So with the one track, is it fair to say that then that kind of the buzz that you get from the conference kind of transcends the buzz that you get from, say, a particular talk that was very very engaging? Were you finding people in bars talking to each other, but did you talking to each other about it, or was it you were going to see presentations and then getting caught up in the next thing and the next thing or next thing?
I mean, there was a lot of conversation going on. There was a huge lounge area, which was very well done from what I could see. It was, everyone had enough room to sit and talk, and there was enough to keep people busy there. But there were lots of people, just talking about stuff they'd seen. And as it was such a kind of a smaller conference, more personal conference, you could sit with the person who just did the talk and discuss it with them. We quite regularly kind of just went out drinking in the evening, and it was just like, okay, going to go out with Chris Gates, Chris Nickerson, Jason E Street, and Robin Wood, and just kind of people who you knew from the industry, and you just have some drinks, have a chat. As it was such a personal conference, if you had questions about it, the guys were there. They weren't just flying in to give a talk and then flying out again. They were really there for the conference, and they really enjoyed it as well.
You couldn't have chosen a better weekend for a conference, a security conference either. I mean, talk about a weekend where you've had major security vulnerabilities either a couple of days before or even while you're there. It must have been pretty awesome to have some really big security vulnerabilities and that many security people in the one place at the one time talking about security. Must have been awesome. I'm referring to some of the SMB and denial of service stuff that we've seen against our Microsoft friends recently. But I was sitting there thinking that, you know, at the time, I think it was on the 19th, that I'd heard through the grapevine that you know, remote execution was happening on this SMB version 2 thing. And I was sitting there thinking, my God, there's a ton of ethical hackers sitting in Brussels at the moment. You know what I mean? Some of the cream that, you know, the cream of the crop almost. Sidetracking there. How many people do you think were at BrewCon then, Benny?
More or less, take a few. 270 people.
Wow.
Minimum estimates, like it was more like a worst scenario was 100 people. So, and the maximum for that venue was 400. So I'm really happy with the results for this year.
Okay. So it was kind of very kind of like a friendly atmosphere. I'm getting that kind of vibe with it being a small number, not a small number, but you know what I mean, a number that you could actually get to meet a majority of the people there.
Yeah, because there has been a similar security conference in Luxembourg for a few years, and one of the things I always liked is, like Chris said, it's smaller, there's a nice atmosphere, it's easier to talk to speakers. And that's what I like about our venue and our event. Okay, the first edition is like 200, 270 people, but personally for me, I prefer it to keep it within the 400 limits, to the limit of this venue, because you get, it is easier to see and meet the same people for next year, because at the CCC Congress, which is an awesome event, but the KS Computer Congress is like 4,000 people, and I knew a lot of people and some colleagues that from the industry that were also there, and I think in 4 days I bumped only once into them.
All right.
Yeah, it's really, really difficult to see and find people because it's become so massive, and the atmosphere suffers a bit from it.
Chris, am I right in thinking that you were talking or something this year at BrewCon?
I was hoping to do a lightning talk, but
no thunder.
Yeah, there was no thunder with that. It was more a case of that I was being selfish. The lightning talks kind of clashed with two of the talks I really, really wanted to see. So it was a decision for me, do I make the talk or do I not make the talk? And I mean, I wish I'd given the lightning talk, personally. I mean, I'm hoping to next year, certainly, if I'm invited. But, personally for me, it was like at that time, there was stuff on I really wanted to see that I hadn't seen before anywhere else. And I really wanted to be there for the talks. So, and I was blogging from the event as well, very quickly. Some people were claiming that I had a time machine and therefore were blogging before people had even finished giving their presentations. But I really wanted to go to the talk, so it didn't really give me the chance to do a lightning talk this year.
Didn't you win something?
Yeah. I won the t-shirt for the most tweets during the event, I think it was, wasn't it? I could also be said as the most loudmouth person on Twitter at the event. That was me. So yeah.
So you also blogged like almost about every presentation there. So you're also the biggest blogger of BrewCon.
Benny, I get a press pass next year then.
Benny, this is his redemption for like blogging nothing at DEF CON. where he did have a press pass.
Well, hey, I only blog from the premium events, obviously.
I'm going to pick on you slightly, Chris. I have to be honest with you because, and let me get this right, this year you've been to DEF CON, Hacking at Random, BrewCon. Have I missed anything so far?
Oh, this year? Are we talking the whole year or just the last 2 months?
Well,
The whole year?
the whole year. Let's have a look at the whole year for a second.
Wait, what have I been to this year? InfoSec in London, which is a bit of a bust. Yeah, that's terrible. First conference in Japan, Black Hat, Def Con, Hacking at Random, Brewcon, and then coming up, I've got,
Computer Congress.
yeah, Gaz Computer Congress. I've got the SANS conference in London in December, which is going to be great. And I've got DeepSec and ITsecX, which are both Austrian cons. I can't really not go to the cons in Austria if I'm in Austria, so.
And then after which conference do you think your girlfriend will change the locks?
What do you mean? When? Has she not already done that?
After Brewcon, I'm in the car doing this right now.
Out of the conferences that you've been to so far, what was out of all of them, and I'm sure Benny'd be okay if you say a different conference here. What was the one talk that really captured your imagination, Chris?
The one talk, oh man, it's really hard. There's been so many good talks. I mean,
I'll give you three if you really want.
yeah. Oh, thanks. Great. I've got three from like 100. I mean, there's been a lot of good talks. Actually, ironically, probably at least two of them come from Brewcon. In my top three, in no particular order, going in date order really. A conversation that I had and a presentation I saw at FIRST conference in Japan about Microsoft's patching of the MS 0867 SMB flaw. That was kind of really good from a technical point of view, just being able to see what Microsoft had done and how they dealt with it. So that was kind of educational, and I met some of the guys from Microsoft who were meant to be at Brewcon but who didn't seem to make it, probably due to the other attendee floor
I was going to say they
in
were
Wiesbaden.
slightly busy at
Yeah,
that point.
they were slightly busy at that point. I get a feeling he got to the airport and then got a phone call to go back again. So, but I mean, the other two that kind of really opened my eyes were open source information gathering from Chris Gates and the Red and Tiger teaming from Chris Nickerson, which were two of the talks I mentioned earlier on, which were both at Brewcon. And they just really kind of hit home with what I'm doing and kind of what we should be doing in this industry, instead of just kind of turning up on day one and saying, right, I'm going to run Nmap, I'm going to run Nessus, there you go, look, there's a flaw, I'm going to exploit it, we're in, finished. They're taking it more from the personal meat layer flaws, social engineering, kind of taking almost the easy way in, is kind of like getting to know the person who you're attacking. And I think their talks really melded well together, and I think I got a lot out of their talks.
Could I ask you another question, Chris? I don't want to keep on picking on you. Do you think that, for me, I mean, I didn't make it to any of the events, but I feel like I was still able to be a part of it in some way, shapes, and forms through, media and Twittering and blog posts and so on and so forth. Is it me, or does this year seem to have been an incredibly good year for ethical hacking and security conferences and a lot of decent quality content and information getting out for people? Or am I just kind of,
No, I mean it's been a good year and it's been a bad year. From my point of view, it's and this isn't against Brewcon because I think the event was great, but I think there's almost kind of like now too much conferences going on, and I don't fit Brewcon into that pile of there's too much, because there was a big gap there that needed to be filled and Brewcon filled it, and it was a great event. But I think now there's a lot of big companies kind of going, wow, look, people are making money on this, we're just going to run our own conference. And what they offer is they'll just get three big names in and then fill the rest with stuff, kind of marketing ploys disguised as talks. And what I really enjoyed about Brewcon was that there's none of that. There was not a single person who I met at the con or a single thing that I saw at the con that said, this is what our company does and this is what our product does. Everyone was just, I'm talking from a personal point of view and this is what I'm going to talk about. There was really no kind of, I work for X company and we're selling this and this is how it works. And I've kind of I've started to see that kind of infecting some of the bigger conferences, even kind of Black Hat Def Con is kind of, not so much Def Con because people tend to throw things, but a Black Hat, yeah, it was kind of, you know, I work for McAfee, for example, picking on them because they're going in like a super hacker. And sort of like, we're going to talk about antivirus. And I was like, oh, well, this isn't going to be a marketing thing at all. You know, like, you know, every chance they can get, they say, well, our product does things slightly differently. And it's, and I see that coming along more and more, and those are the kind of talks that I don't want to be associated with. I don't want to write a blog entry about someone's brand new shiny product that they're trying to sell to everyone. I'd much rather write about, you know, for example, Craig Balding's great talk that he did on cloud security. I went in not knowing anything about cloud security and came out thinking, wow, this cloud security thing's great. I still don't like it, but it's great.
I mean, for me, personally, it just seems to me that there was an awful lot of really good content being done, and that what posted that home to me is the great work that the guy does at securitytube.net or .com, I can't remember, but the site .net who just... I follow him on Twitter, and it's just, you know, you're getting three or four incredibly great videos, and some of them are conference related and so on and so forth. And it's been, for me, very, very good because I've been able to actually get into to what people are talking about and actually get to watch them. And I've been very impressed with the work that guy's done over there. But Benny, is there any plans to have the was there any audio or video recorded at BrewCon this year?
Actually, I've been just tweeting about it.
Oh, mate, you're tweeting while you're on the line to me? That's just shocking, Bernie.
No, just before. we're looking for mirrors to host the files. I actually have the videos ready.
Okay. So is that...
And ironically, Frank Autonessus has also posted to say that he's quite happy to be a mirror. So he did get on the podcast, even though he's not on the podcast.
Yeah, for regular listeners, it feels like we're going through a trial separation without our brother-in-arm, Autonessus. It feels like, you know, I'm having separation anxieties at the moment. So there is audio, there is video. You're just looking for a mirror at the moment. So
yeah, the presentations themselves, the PDFs, are all online except for two, I think. So you can already download those.
What's the just to put you on the spot, Benny? What's the do you know what the URL is for the presentations?
Yeah, brewcon.org, and just go to the schedule. The schedule, the list of presentations, after the text, the abstract, there's a PDF icon for each presentation. And as soon as I can upload the videos to one or two mirrors, I will put the link on the video page of BrewCon, because it's 1.18 gigabytes, and well, every ADSL has limited upload speed, so I'm going to see. Maybe I have a friend at university. Maybe I'm going to drop a DVD, and it's like 100 megabit upload. So.
Did you not see this thing in South Africa where it was quicker to send a carrier pigeon with 4.5 gigabits than it was to send it down an ADSL modem? ADSL modem. I'm sure you guys are busy at the conference at the time. Do you guys hear about this?
Yeah. No. Probably.
This is awesome. They actually did a test, and this guy had got a carrier pigeon with a USB of 4.5 gigabits, and sent the carrier pigeon with the 4.5 gigabits, and did an ADSL to upload 4.5 gigabits, and the carrier pigeon won by about 4.5 hours or something. So.
But the latency must be really crap.
It's a bit of a problem.
And your packets don't usually get shot by farmers either. So
it's not often.
Wasn't there an RFC?
Yeah,
IP over pigeon.
I'd seen this somewhere before as well. I was just thinking about that.
There are two or three like this. There's IP over sheep, and An IP of a pigeon, and then the third one I remember, which really good, was the RFC about the TCP or the IP flag, the evil bit.
The evening, yeah.
Just forget firewall, just filter on the evil bit. If it's an evil cyber criminal, the bit is set to one first packets, and all good packets are zero. Just Google for it. Actually, it's like, I don't know how people can write it, because it's like 40 pages.
That's someone taking the
Yeah,
joke far too seriously, isn't
it's really RFC with all the details. It's like,
it's RFC 3514. Yeah.
It just doesn't surprise me that you know that, Chris.
I'm looking at it at the moment on Wikipedia. I couldn't remember what it was. So.
I think the release date always was the 1st of April. I'm
Yeah.
actually curious if there was one released this year.
Yeah, but some of these RFCs come across as April Fool jokes, and then you just realize it's, web encryption or something.
In the interest of keeping the show a little bit shorter, I just want to kind of maybe wrap up in the next couple of 5 or 10 minutes. But I mean, Benny, do you? I mean, how? I mean, for the HBR listeners that don't know, I mean, I do a Software Freedom Day event in Scotland. It's quite a big one, and I find that by the time I'm finished, I'm still by the time I get through that event, and I'm an organizer of it, that I'm very, very exhausted, tired, and can't possibly think about anything else. I can imagine that was times by 10 for you, Benny. I mean, I joked about it at the beginning, but you're starting to recover, and there's maybe not the hangover, the right word, but the calmness coming back to the barn almost.
Well, it's almost done. There's still some after Brewcon work, like bills administration, but the email volume, because organization of the conference is done, is really going down. So there are less emails to respond to. And well, next weekend is the first free weekend. I really look forward to having a long sleep.
So are we to expect slurring twitters from you on Sunday morning then?
Well, my security for all block, well, it's like it's suspended animation, and I might pick up that one, because I think it's like I used to block one post a day, and it more for the last month it's one each month. So
So you stuck it into a deep freeze.
yeah, I really didn't want to say on the block, like, I don't have time to block anymore, because people said, like, well, just don't mention it, and when you have time to block, just block again. Well, yeah, I learned a lot about having a lot of work and learning to be more time efficient, and yeah, that's just, Brewcon was a good exercise.
So I remember that after my first Software Freedom Day event, someone saying to me, "Oh, I'm looking forward to next year's," and me sitting there thinking, "Maybe, maybe not." And it's amazing within 4 or 5 days, you kind of, yeah, it was really good. It was nice to see speakers. They were all very happy. Lots of people were entertained. Are you at that point yet where, you can start to think about, maybe next year?
Yeah, but I'm thinking a bit about like that next year we'll have more experience. It's not the first edition. We can improve on things. But on the other hand, because I'm not saying it was perfect, but because we did quite well, we're under pressure to deliver at least the same results. So it's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, you kind of set the bar quite high on that one.
Benny, I think there's absolutely no doubt that you and your team will definitely do better than this year. I mean, your passion for what you guys set out to achieve, in my belief, is what got you over the finishing line and produced such a good good event that everyone's really proud to have attended it and been a part of. I remember first speaking to you it must be, you know, 10, 12 weeks ago or something like that, and just coming off the call from you thinking how, you know, passionate and excited you were about to get this off. And I mean, personally, I'm just chuffed that it was such a great event for you guys. I'm really, really, you know, stoked for you there. And I mean, Chris, it's been really good to actually have you come onto the calls as well, you know, and you know, like I say, I didn't get to any of them, so it was really nice to have someone that had been there, especially someone from the industry itself, you know, having that ethical hacking eye on things. Benny, are you conferencing at all for the rest of the year, or are you just conferenced out now?
I wanted to go to hack.lu, the one in Luxembourg, but I don't have any training or holidays left to get off work.
Have you not got the flu or something like that?
Yeah, but it's not that far, so I might just drive there and have a drink with some of the people there in the evening. And the only one really on my schedule is the Chaos Computer Congress, which is like a bit of a Christmas holiday. I think it's third time for me now.
As I say, I'm going to wrap up the interview for now. Chris, is there anything you know, the shameless plug moment that we all do in podcasting? Chris, is there anything that you'd like to wrap up with? Anything that you'd want to say or promote, or all three?
No, I'm good. I'd like to give thanks to everyone who helped organize BrewCon. I know Benny's not the only one, but I'd like to thank Benny for his contribution, because I know he's worked hard, and I saw him running around the conference sweating profusely and looking confused, and he really did work particularly hard at the event, and I know lots of other people did, and I hope that everyone who's listening is going to consider coming next year, because it would be nice to meet everyone in podcaster land, or however people refer to it. I really loved the event, and I'm really happy to be part of it, and I'm looking forward to 2010 already.
And Benny, is there anything that you'd like to shamelessly promote or say?
No, thank you for having me on the podcast. And if you want to see the presentations and the videos, check the website in a few days. We'll try to get them online as soon as possible, so everybody can have a sneak peek about what happened on BrewCon. The blog posts and the pictures from some people are also already mentioned, so you can check out the Hacker Lounge with the arcade games.
Brilliant. I mean, for me personally, Benny and Chris, I'd really like to thank you for taking the time to come and speak to us and share your experiences with the HPR audience. I mean, it's no secret that I was incredibly jealous of the work that you guys have done. I'd love to have been there, and it's just nice that we have people in the industry that are willing to give back and to share. And for that, I do thank you and all my guests that have been on in the past. In the interest of keeping everyone on page almost, could I get your blog addresses, Chris? What's your blog?
Yeah, my blog's at www.c22.cc.
And are you one of those Twitterers?
Yeah, unfortunately, I tend to be a Twitter. Yeah, Twit at least. Yeah. it's just at Chris John Riley, which is R-I-L-E-Y.
Okay, and if anyone knows from the first time I interviewed Chris, I spelled his name completely wrong, so there's some other guy.
That's why I spelled it for you. even I can't spell my name right.
Yeah, it's amazing what I can spell wrong. And Benny, and what's your blog address if people want to have a look at your blogs, your blog posting?
blog.securityforall.be with 4 as in the number and not spelled out.
Okay, so it's the numeric 4.
Yeah, security number 4 all.be.
Okay, and do you Twitter? Can people follow you on Twitter, or you're not into
Yeah,
Twitter?
it's at Security for All, the Twitter account. So I tend to be more active on Twitter than blogging because yeah, it doesn't take as much time. And
you've only got 160 characters to worry about.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't say anything that embarrassing in 140 characters.
I don't know.
Well, actually, yeah, actually you can. Yeah. Anyway, I'll take that back. Just cut that actually, episode. Yeah.
I'm curious if Chris will maintain his crown of biggest Twitter on Brucon next year.
Oh, I doubt it. As soon as people realized they were just twittering constantly. You know, it's like
yeah.
almost as soon as you called me out and said here's a T-shirt. I was like, okay, and I went back to sit down, and suddenly, you know, people were twittering all over the place. It was like, maybe there's a prize for second place. Quick, quick, quick! You know, twittering everything they could.
In other words, it's like you got a T-shirt for twittering.
Exactly.
Well, I did it on purpose to not announce it. I
yeah.
just wanted to know who's the person most active on Twitter. But well, maybe I'll give another T-shirt next year. Maybe not. Who knows?
Or maybe next year you can do who's blogging them. No, that wouldn't work either. So,
yeah, maybe you
yeah,
can run
who's,
a competition.
Who's blogging the most?
You could maybe find and do a competition for who's twittering the least, and
the
then
least.
You know, get them a T-shirt going. You know, I came to this conference and I couldn't be asked to Twitter.
Oh, I didn't want to announce it so people would get spammy, but yeah, just like Chris was spreading the word about Brucon on Twitter, and well, yeah, I had a hunch it was him, but I actually had someone write a script to have statistics, and yeah, my hunch was right.
Right, guys, I'm going to wrap up the show. I'd like to thank both of my guests today, who, as I say, I'm very grateful that they took the time and to come and speak to us, and it's brilliant that they share their experiences. And you can follow their Twitters and their blog posts, and I do encourage you to do so. There's lots of great information that I've found on both Chris's and Frank's, and also Nessa's from previous shows and stuff like that. What I'd also like to mention to the Hacker Public Radio audience, if you guys want to get involved in producing your own podcast, it really couldn't be any easier with Hacker Public Radio. If there's something that you really want to share or talk about, or a project that you're interested in, or much like myself, find someone that you want to interview, you can produce a show if you contact either Enigma or Klaatu at Hacker Public Radio. They can help you get your show aired out, and you too can be part of the HBR podcasters. So, as left for me to do is, once again, thank you all for listening to Hacker Public Radio, and we'll catch you the next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HBR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.